traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians from all around the world, all breeds. This is Scott Miller with the International Equine Report, live on BBS Radio. I'd like to have you call us in. Question, 323-744-4341. That's our call-in number, and we'll answer any questions that you've got about the equine industry. On the International Equine Report today, we're going to do a lot of different things here. We're going to kind of potpourri day today. One of the things that we try to get out to our listeners and to equestrians from all around the world is the importance of the journey that gets you there. And that's our saying here. The journey starts here in the International Equine Network. Because what we're trying to do here at IEN is make the equine world accessible to everybody with just one click and to our website, and we can get you to any discipline, any item you might need in the equine industry, take you a tour around the world. But the journey starts right here with us, and that journey starts with us because you're going to tell us your journey that you're on. And just remember, equestrians, the best thing that you can do in the business, it's nice to win races, it's nice to win shows, sell a horse at the sales for $1 million. All those things are really good. But when you sit down and look back on your equestrian endeavors and the journey that you've been on, you talk more about the journey than you do the actual win itself or the sale itself. And that's important, is to create these memories and document those memories that you'll have, because I know I've been in the business all my life, and what's interesting now is when I sit down and look at memories that I have, and heck, I'm going back 40 years now to when one of my first experiences was winning the Louisiana Derby 40 years ago. And I talk more about the people and the things that we did there and how we got there and where we went from that point on. And, you know, it's really great. It's great memories to have. And nowadays, it's so easy to take pictures and photos and document your journey with a snap of a button from an iPhone. And so that's what we're trying to, you know, get everybody to do on the International Equine Network, is call in and ask any questions you want. Tell us your story so that we can get them out there and let other people enjoy some of the things that you might have done, or go to some of the places that you might have been. And also, that's here on IEN Equine Network. So let's get this International Equine Report started today. We're going to start with some news from the Buffalo Raceway cancels Wednesday racing. Buffalo Raceway has canceled live harness racing for Wednesday, March the 2nd, 2022. Buffalo Raceway and Western New York Harness Horsemen's Association deeply regret the recent cancellation of live racing at Buffalo Raceway. For the last 5 weeks, we have employed the services of one of the leading racetrack consultants in the country in an effort to conduct live racing in Hamburg, New York. It's located on the shores of Lake Erie, where the weather variances occur daily. A lot of people don't understand that there's a lot to maintain in a track, and it's very difficult to do because of the weather variances that you might have. There, for example, here in Buffalo, so we've been faced with four thaw to freeze occurrences that have changed temperatures by up to 50 degrees in the last 48 hours period, causing the racetrack to go from frozen to melting condition to a melting condition. The Horsemen's Association and Racetrack Management are doing everything possible to alleviate this problem with the hopes of racing on Saturday, March 5th. Now, what's interesting about this is this occurs all over the country. And you might think that, take for example, Florida, for example, you have a lot of heat differences. It can go from, you know, 95 degrees down to 70 degrees. And you see a sharp, distinct temperature drop or increase, you know, here in South Florida. And that really doesn't affect the track that much. It does to a certain extent, but not like it does in places like this time of year, Buffalo and Kentucky and New York and even into California. California can have some real big temperature changes there that are drastic, but they're not as severe as they are like they would be in Buffalo, you know, that type of thing. So that's one of the things that, you know, we like to report about and let you know why that they're not racing there and, you know, what the Buffalo Raceway is trying to do to correct it. And then we go out west now to Santa Anita, moves March 4th card to March 7th. With March 4th weather forecast calling for 90% chance of rain in Arcadia, where Santa Anita Racetrack is located in, and they consulted with the Thoroughbred Owners of California and the California Horse Racing Board to announce that it will shift Friday's 8-race program to March 7th. The first most time will be at 12:30 Pacific time. Accordingly, there will be no redraw with Monday's program rescheduled as an expected replica of what had been planned for Friday. Although the rain is predicted throughout the afternoon on Friday, Monday's Arcadia forecast is for sunny skies with a high of 68 degrees. With mandatory payout of the Golden Gate Fields 20-cent single ticket Rainbow Pick 6 jackpot on tap Monday, the first post is scheduled for 12:15 p.m. Pacific time and will thus run concurrently with Santa Anita. March 5th is the inaugural first Saturday featuring a day of racing, pairing Santa Anita with Gulfstream Park with 15 stakes included, scheduled between both tracks, including three Grade 1 events at Santa Anita, at Santa Anita Park. Saturday is poised to be one of the biggest days of racing this year. So what they do is they have they combine the Gulfstream and the Santa Anita Park program to run every other race would be Gulfstream and same for Santa Anita. You know, every other race would be Santa Anita for Gulfstream. So it's really good. It's really a good thing to watch. It's a good day of racing. Many stake races on that day, showcasing some of the best horses in the country. And it's really a great day. But it just goes to show you that on the East Coast and West Coast, the temperatures, how they affect the track, how the weather, the rain affects the track. And it's all about safety for the horses and for the jockeys and for the owners and trainers and for the horse. That's our utmost thing that we're pushing now. Is horse safety, equine safety, all through what we're doing here on a day-to-day basis for the industry. And that affects training, too, just not the racing. That affects the trainings in the morning and, you know, things of that nature. So it's just not just racing, but it's the 24/7 safety that they're looking for. And that's what we're trying to do with safe horse racing is what we're trying to do. So now we're going to touch on a subject that a lot of people don't like to talk about in the horse industry. We're talking about PEDs. We're talking about medication. We're talking about violation of the state racing commissions. We're talking about a lot of things. And today, this afternoon, standard bred trainer Chris Oates will be sentenced to jail. You can go to harnesslink.com for all the information that'll be on that. It'll be up this afternoon sometime, I would imagine. But what's happened is there has been 29 indictments issued over the last year, and we've had people that were mislabeling medications and giving their horses stimulants and things that would enhance their performance, and they were being mislabeled. And it's a widespread project that was carried out by a group of individuals over the last, I'd say, probably 10 to 15 years, with no doubt that they've gone back in their investigation, you know, to find out how long this has been going on. And now that they've got the 29 indictments, a lot of the people are pleading guilty and going in and taking their sentences, and others are going to court. The whole long and short of it is rules and regulations. There's no way, shape, or form that a good trainer would actually go in and take the risk of doping a horse or doing something illegal, you know, with the horse to get them to the winner's circle. You know, the owner, it's not right to the horse. It's not right to the owners. It's not right to the public. It's just not right at all. So now that they're getting caught, you know, it just goes to show that we are doing a safety, you know, check on everything in the horse industry. And they've gone from grooms to hot walkers to trainers to owners to racetracks. There's 30 racetracks now under investigation about, you know, the distribution of these medications and how it happened and who used them and who didn't. And the list, last list I saw was well over 500 people throughout the industry that they have want to talk to or that have used these products. And so it's a long, drawn-out process, and they are being caught. And we have an example with Bob Baffert in Medina Spirit. Last year's Kentucky Derby winner was disqualified for testing positives for illegal drugs. And the argument seems to be how much was in the horse's system, how it got there. You know, there's every kind of way that excuses that have been, that these horses have been drugged. And the court system, they've gone through the court system. The court system has found them guilty. And now, you know, they're going to have to serve the time. And the thing that really gets me about the situation with Bob Baffert is that they're trying to delay everything. They're trying to, the best they can, to do anything they can to keep Bob involved so that he can race in the Derby this year. Now, granted, you know, Bob did wrong. He was convicted in court of doing wrong. But nevertheless, Bob is a good horseman. He wouldn't got to where he has gotten to over the years if he didn't have good equine knowledge. And you know, somewhere along the line, these things started happening. And the shame of it is to win the Derbies that he's won and the Triple Crown that he has won, that is all tainted now. It's all stained. You know, you can't, you know, you just don't know where, I mean, you know, for me, that's the way I look at it. His victories have been tainted and stained, and it makes you wonder about all the victories that he's had. And so, you know, when you start getting involved that heavily into the business and creating situations like this, and you tarnish the image of the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown, that's something that people really don't get into, and they just hear it in the news and they go, oh, well, yeah, you know, that I always knew they were cheating. And that's from the novice. That's from the general public. And so what we want to do is make sure that the industry gets cleaned up, that the people that have gotten caught do their time, pay the price, and move on. and we need to do things that can help prevent, you know, these things. You know, you're looking at the Kentucky Derby. It's one of the most watched sporting events in the world every year. And now you know good and well that the media, they've got two roads to go. They can, or actually three. They cannot say nothing about it and just go on. They can report it as it happens and then let it go. Or they can do in-depth, you know, stories about it, how they got there, how that happened, you know, what turned them on their journey to victory, made them do the things that they did. And so that's one of the things that, you know, I'm going to be doing off and on, you know, here and there. Not that I got a great big audience that's listening to me, but at least I'm getting it out there for anybody that does to make them realize that the industry can be fantastic. It's full of history. It's full of pomp and circumstance. It's got parties. It's got Derby Week. It's got Preakness Week, Belmont Week, Breeders' Cup Week, you know, Florida Derby Week, Tampa Bay Derby Week, Santa Anita Derby Week. You know, it provides a lot of things for the communities in this country to, you know, enjoy and brings income to, you know, those cities. And unfortunately, that the press that we've been getting over the last year is not good, and that kind of takes away from the excitement of the Derby. But on the second hand, it gives conversation about the Derby, and a lot of people that really don't know the business might read a little more and find out a little more about you know, just what PEDs are, just what you know, who's doing what and everything. So that's my take on it. It's a shame that it happened. I've lost a lot of respect for a lot of trainers and owners that have used these medications, and not that it matters to them or to anybody else. It's just my own personal feeling that I'll have a hard time dealing with some of these people that have been convicted, and it's going to be tough for me. Because in my business, I deal with them every day, and especially here in South Florida, I'm involved in the show horse business, the standard bred business, the sales, the transportation, and the racing end of it. So my path crosses all of them at one time or another. And let me tell you, it's been for pretty quiet and cold mornings, you know, in my life. So that's where it's at. Now, one of the persons that, I worked for, and he's a great man. He really changed our business around a lot. He brought a lot of class to the business, and you know, he kind of almost single-handedly, you know, at one time saved the business because of his style. He's got a swagger to him that has gone on for years, and you know, we're looking at. And people, for example, like a Todd Pletcher, top trainer of the year in and year out, one of his workers, and all the other people that I'm getting ready to tell you about, all worked for him. We're looking at Kerry McLaughlin. He worked for Wayne. We're looking at Randy Moss. He worked for Wayne. You know, we're looking at Dallas Stewart, worked for Wayne. We're looking at a lot of people, you know, that have worked for Wayne, and they're, you know, it's amazing how they got their education and they went on and carried his practices and his style on, because they're first class operations. And that's where it all started at, was with Wayne there. So what we're going to look here is, this is from our friends at the Blood Horse. Had a good article in the Blood Horse on him today. It says, Hall of Famer trainer Dwayne Lucas said March 2nd that owners could provide first line of defense for horse racing's integrity by ensuring the trainers they employ bring the highest standards to the game. Lucas offered that insight Wednesday during a thoughtful and entertaining talk as the keynote speaker at the National Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association Conference at Oaklawn Park Hotel in Hot Springs, Arkansas. It could help clean up the sport a little bit. Have the owners interview the trainers, Lucas said. they should talk with the trainers and be comfortable that he or she is going on to be honest, not put your put you in a bad spot. Pick your trainer you know is going to do the honest job and not get you in trouble or them in trouble. They don't want to get themselves in trouble, especially, you know, when you got good owners out there. In recent years, one of the prominent trainers, Jorge Navarro, had been convicted of federal charges related to the performance-enhancing drugs, and other, and another, Jason Service, faces federal charges of similar wrongdoing. Lucas said owners who could weed out some of the problem trainers just by sitting down and talking to them, with them, and knowing that there may be times that corruption is coming from the ownership level. Lucas said owners should face sanctions beyond the loss of the purse if their horses fail drug tests. He said that that would help clean up the sport, in which it would. If everybody that has a hand in that horse and is training or breeding or, you know, what have you, if they know that there's, you know, there's going to be a penalty for breaking those rules, you know, then a lot of people might take a second, you know, thought on that and not do it. I think they should sanction the owners, Lucas said. Maybe they can run a horse in a grade one for 1 year or run a certain track for 1 year. So in other words, what he's saying, if an owner gets caught, you take away the big money races, the graded races. You take those away from them. You take that track away from them. If they can't run, you know, let's say for, they can't run in the Derby or in Kentucky at any of the tracks. That hurts the owner. That goes directly to the pocketbook. Sure, they can go to other states that would accept them, you know, but that's what you don't want. You don't want to get known as, you know, having a bunch of rule breakers, you know, at your track, because that's not good for the public. You know, there is, I think the owners would have to feel like that, like getting a trainer who is not going to let them get in trouble. Lucas recalled training horses for W.T. Young, which I worked for Wayne when he had W.T. Young's horses from Overbrook Farm, and the great responsibility he felt in that role. I can't believe I would ever put him in a position where he would have to answer something like a failed drug test, Lucas said. I did everything I could to get not to get him in trouble. Despite battling back issues the past few years and about COVID-19, Lucas, 86, was sharp as ever and fresh off of the victory with Secret Oath in the Honeybee Stakes for three-year-old fillies and runner-up finisher with Ethereal Road and the Rebel Stakes for three-year-olds. So Wayne's back on the trail to the Derby. He's an ethical guy. He does a lot of good things that for everybody in the sport. In introducing Lucas's Wednesday, Nancy Holtis and Alice for Oakland Park simulcast said she had never been as emotional as she was interviewing Wayne Lucas after Secret Oath win and the Honeybee. After hearing the kind words, Lucas quipped, after hearing Nancy introduce me, I think I need to start charging a higher day rate. So you see, Wayne pays attention to things that people say and do, you know, in regards to him and his operation. You know, and there he was thinking publicly, you know, through the Blood Horse publication and other, you know, media avenues. And she really appreciated that. But Wayne noticed that, and that's the kind of guy he is. Lucas spent much of his time encouraging horsemen to find ways to promote the sport, even if it's a single person at a time. And see, that's one of the things that I learned from Wayne when I was working for him. And started this podcast, you know, trying to do the best I can, trying to, you know, take it up another level every week. you know, which slowly is coming. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep trying to take it up a notch because there's no quit in my stable. Like I was taught, you know, by Wayne. And he recognizes that one person can literally change the whole business. And to be honest with you, back in the day when Wayne first got around to coming to Churchill and getting into the business, he literally was that one person that changed the business because he came in and he brought integrity. He brought class to the operations. His barn was painted. His had flowers and had, you know, the barn was all, you know, spot on, as they say. His grooms, his help, always dressed clean, acted clean, presented himself well to represent Wayne and his owners. That's one of the big things. Every horse that went to the paddock looked like a brand new, like a brand new million-dollar horse. They were clean, they were healthy, they were fit, they were ready to run. And I heard Wayne say many a times, "We had a horse that was the favorite in the race and should have won, and he runs fourth or fifth." And Wayne came back and he says, "Hey." He said, "Today wasn't our day. We just got beat by better horses," and he let it go at that. And Wayne always said, told his people that were working for him, it says, when you lose, say very little, and when you win, say even less. He said, and maintain that class, first class operation, and that's what you do with Wayne if you spend any time with him, you know, to do that. And he realized that one person can change, can turn it around. Lucas said that for years he has been selecting young people at the track to join him in the winner's circle after victories at the track. "We let their parents know we'll return them," he said with a laugh. And so, you know, that helps lay the foundation for people that might want to get into the business as an owner or as a trainer or, you know, as a hot walker or a groom or you know, what have you. Hey, when I worked for Wayne, I was hot walking. I tell you what, I went in with khaki pants on, a button-up shirt, and shiny shoes every day. Went in with them every day because even though I was the low guy on the totem pole, I was still part of the team, and I still had to present that image. And that's what we did. We did it no matter who you were or what you did in that organization. That's the way you did because we respected how Mr. Lucas wanted to have things done. He says, Lucas said he receives letters from young people in college or law school who thank him for the winter circle trips from years ago. The trainer noted that it's up to participants in the sport to build racing. And that's so true. And, you know, like again, we were saying about all these violations that have been recorded here and people that are going to court. You know, it's up to the industry to police it. It's up to the industry to make it happen. Take a little time, say good morning to somebody, you know, that might be a patron at one of the tracks. Give them a little hi, a little wave, you know, and get them excited about the business because they're our future. They're our future owners, trainers, jockeys, grooms, hot walkers, transporters, feed people. You never do know where they'll fit in. And you know that hi or that good morning and that introduction might be something that gets, you know, a champion into everything that we're doing. And Wayne says, "I get a better feeling these days from talking to a small child in the winter circle, more enjoyment than the winning." So Wayne really likes to see those kids in there and he enjoys the thrill that they get from being in the winner's circle, you know, with Wayne and a winning horse. And that's really more important than the win is for Wayne. You know, that's where he gets his enjoyment. And like we say here on the International Equine Network, it's a journey that gets you there. And that's where I got this from, was from Dwayne Lucas. That's where I got the journey. I went on a journey that was just remarkable with him. We had horses in there like Farm Away and just a Twilight Agenda, you know, just amazing horses that were in there that ran. We were always winning and running and you know, big races, and it was fantastic, you know, to be a part of that program, knowing that we all won. And that's what Wayne always said. He didn't, he never uses the word I. He always uses the word we, and at Lucas Stables. And it was good. And I mean, it was one heck of a journey. Well, I tell you what, you thought I was the biggest horse person in the world when I went to work for Wayne Lucas and could put that Wayne Lucas jacket and hat on. You know, it was really good. You know, it's just exciting to do that. It says, if I win the Kentucky Derby this year, you can look it up. There will be a small kid I never met before standing right next to me in the winner's circle. The horses come and go. Those feelings stay forever. Each one of us needs to try to make a difference. And that's what, you know, we say here at IEN. That's how I live my life. I try to make a difference wherever I go and you know, take time to talk to people. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you talk so much, you know, but I do. I like that. In fact, out here at Sunshine Meadows, it's kind of one of the funniest things that I ever did see in my entire life. We had one of our clients out here that when I got sick and got cancer a year ago, I have a John Deere gator that I go around and I do the things that the Brandon Mills, the manager, wants me to do. And I might collect checks from people. I might check on shavings availability for our clients. Might check on a loose horse being gone. You know, just all kinds of things that I do here, you know, to take a little pressure off of some of our staff here, that they don't have to, you know, go bother with a loose horse or you know, or anything like that. And also, and like I said, when I got cancer, I had a tremendous outpour of people here at our farms, our three farms that we have, that just really were concerned about me. And so when I got back, one of the trainers had put a sticker on my John Deere gator in yellow writing. And it says, Governor Scott Miller. Governor Scott Miller. Because I'm always out talking to people. And the owner of our facility here, he labeled me that one a long time ago. And so now I have it on my gator. And when I go around, it does get somebody's attention and they do listen to me a little bit more. And also, but it just goes to show you need to make a difference in somebody's life, especially here in the equestrian industry. And that's one of the things that, we like to do, make a difference. And who knows? You know, I've got a person out here now that started riding that was a nurse that I had in the hospital, and her kids are out here riding now. And, you know, they would have never been out here if I hadn't got sick and gone to the hospital. And we started talking and everything, and one thing led to another, and now they're out here riding. And so that provided a new client for one of our trainers out here. It provided the kids with happiness. And every day when I get up to go to work, I go out there and I see so many other riders from all ages. Mr. Scott, how you doing? Hey, Governor, how's it going? You know, and I've made a difference because they made a difference in my life. And that's what it's all about. And speaking of a difference, oh boy, we're going to talk now about Tryon Resort in North Carolina. It's in Mill Springs, North Carolina. And you talk about making a difference in the equine world. These people at Tryon Resort have really made a difference in the equine industry. It's a beautiful facility located in North Carolina, in Mill Springs, North Carolina, at 25 International Boulevard. It's called gototryon.com. That's their website. And they literally have any and everything. And just bear with me for a minute. I'm gonna read to you the facts, the equestrian competition facts. They have 280,000 square foot indoor complex, 3,500 seat indoor arena, 5,000-seat international arena, 3,400-seat Tryon Stadium, 1,600 acres, 1,400 permanent stalls, and attack rooms, 36 weeks of competition at the four-foot level cross-country course, 14 fully engineered rings, 7 barns. That's amazing. This is all one facility. Resort packs they have, 200-plus RV spots with full hookups, 50-room stable house inn, 44 one-bedroom cabins, 18-hole Cleghorn golf club and pool, 17 three- and five-bedroom cabins, 15-station gun club, 8 on-site restaurants, 1 hour from Asheville, Charlotte, and Greenville. This is at TryonResort.com. So they're making a difference in the horse business. It's just, you know, when you think about all that in one spot just for horses and people to be around, it really gets you fired up whenever you get into the business because you're in first-class setting and everything. So that's what we're looking at. Another thing that we're talking about today is tickets for the Meadowlands Festival. All the tracks, whether it's thoroughbred, standardbreds, or you know what have you, they always have something going on, and it's good entertainment. And just Google in your area equine events, and it'll pop up. And the one we're talking about today is at the Meadowlands Festival in New Jersey. It says two of the Meadowlands racing and entertainment's most popular events are back on the calendar for 2022. The 6th annual Bear Festival is set for Saturday, May 21st, and the 4th annual Wine Festival is slated for Saturday, June 25th. So you got almost a whole month there that you can rest up from each one of your festivals there. So it's really great. It says, for the Saturday, May 21st, Craft Beer Fest door opens for VIP at 4:30 p.m. with general admission at 5:30 p.m. And beer is poured until 9:30 p.m. The VIP ticket is available for $65 and includes an additional 1 hour of sampling. Exclusively VIP tent beer sampling and food. General admission begins at 5:30 and is available in advance for $45 or at the door for $50. More than 60 breweries and cideries and participating restaurants, including a number of local New Jersey craft beers, will be there. It's just an amazing event. It highlights Jersey, you know, the food industry and everything. And it's a great place to go to. It's at the Meadowlands. And, you know, I suggest that everybody go to it. It's really a nice event to go to. I've been to it a couple of times and maybe more than a couple of times because there might be some times that I might not have remembered coming back from it. It was that good, you know, trying to get there. Now we're going to start talking a little bit more about some annual events that are coming up. And one of the events that we have is the 2022 Texas 2-Year-Old Training Catalog is on sale now. If you go to FazekTipton.com, you can get that online. It says more than 102-year-olds are telling me with regional and national sire power have been cataloged for the 2022 Texas 2-Year-Old Training Sales presented by the Texas Thoroughbred Association at Lone Star Park. With 132 entrants, the auction is set for April 6th at the Sale Pavilion at Lone Star Park. The Breeze Show is April the 4th at the track in Grand Prairie, Texas. This is going to be a really good sale. The catalog is strong family-wise. Bridwell added, we have horses that are out of stakes winners, by proven and new stallions, half siblings to stakes winners or stakes placed horses, and half siblings to Texas champions. We couldn't ask for a better group. I can't thank our consigners enough for bringing them to Texas. So that's going to be really a good sale there. And I tell you, you never can tell when a Derby horse might come out of that sale. It's going to be interesting to see. We suggest that you go down and online to FezzikTipton.com to get all the information that you need for that. And then the one Fezzik Tipton 2-year-old trading sale that's really popular. And the great thing about this is it comes up on March 30th, and it's the week before the Florida Derby, or actually a few days before the Florida Derby. It's the Fezzik Tipton Gulfstream sale, select 2-year-olds in training. When they say select, that means that Fezzik Tipton has gone around and searched out some of the best 2-year-olds in training and got them into the sales there. It's a great race. I mean, it's a great race. It's a great weekend to go see these horses. It'll be on March 30th is the actual sale, which is a Wednesday. The under tax show is March 28th at 9 a.m. starts at 9 a.m. And you can go out and watch them train on the track. And then next couple of days later, you can go watch them go through the sales ring up there. And that's always exciting to do. And you're in South Florida, you're at Gulfstream, you're close to the ocean, and there's just a lot of things that you can, you know, you can do when you get out there to the sales. You can watch them breeze, and you can actually watch them go through the sale ring. It gives you a couple of days to pick a winner. It's going to bring a lot of money. You can get you a catalog there. You can watch the races. You can do a lot of things there. But there's 103 horses at the Gulfstream sale, select 2-year-old training sale. Wednesday, March 30th, 2022 at 2 p.m. under tax show. It will be on Monday, March 28th at 9 a.m. So that's where we're at as far as that goes. Now, we're going to catch up here with a lot of things that are getting ready to come up here for us and how they get there. How they get there is what we've been talking about here with Lane and the things that they do. And it's the journey that gets you there to the 2022 Kentucky Derby. And we're getting ready to unleash some good things next week on how they get there. And maybe it'll help you understand it more when you can visually see what we're doing here. Now, in order to go to the Kentucky Derby, you have to race in races that earn you points to get to the Kentucky Derby. And let me tell you, it's a tough road to go, because like we've been saying all along here on at the Wire, our Thoroughbred show, is you don't know where to go with your horses and how, and you know, this is all part of how they get there, where the owner and the trainers and all decide where they go and how they go to it. And you know, it's interesting. Earlier in the year, in late last year, started with the Breeders' Cup. 2-year-old juvenile, and you know, you're looking at full fields, and then you come back and you have like the Iroquois, which was a good field, and then you have a lot of other horses, a lot of other races that come along as you go along. Here recently, we had the Rebel Stakes, and the trainers are trying to get everybody to on the same page. And the Rebel Stakes was a great race. Well, let me tell you, man, it was really a good race. Sitting in there, we were looking at an 11-horse field that they had. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking, like, oh, my goodness. I said, well, you look at this. I said, these guys are just unbelievable. You know, this quality that was there, the trainers that were there, you know, people – was thinking, you know, had their picks, and you know, Bob Baffert had New Grange there, and he was the favorite. We had Un Onjo was there with Mr. Courtville, and oh man, it was loaded. And as we said on the show prior to that, we didn't know who was going to win that race. We didn't have a clue. You know, we're sitting there thinking, like, gee whiz. The Southwest Stakes, which is another Derby prep race, had five horses. It ran in the Southwest. They all the $1 million Rebel Stakes. I mean, it was just loaded from beginning to end. And there's a lot of trainers are saying, sitting there scratching their heads, saying, "Hey, maybe you know we should have skipped over this one." I said, "Maybe we should have done that." I said, "Baffert's got New Grange in there," and said, "You know, what are you going to do?" So, long story short, we started looking at the race, and you know, we didn't know who in the heck was going to win it. So now, Ricky Corville, a trainer from, you know, a good trainer, but just not heard of a lot, he comes up and he wins the race. He wins it by a half a length when he wins it. He had a rail trip and a late rush. The horse paid $152.80 to win, $41.80 to place, and $18.60 to show. And then behind him, Ethereal Road, D. Wayne Lucas train, paid $13.60 and $7.20. Unbelievable. And then a long shot that I had in there was Barbara Road. He finished third. So it just goes to show you that anybody could win any of these races. Now, all these horses that were in there before him, New Grange and Ben Diesel and Texas Red Hot, and they had some good horses in that race. But let me tell you something, my friend. At this stage of the game, and this time every weekend, you don't know who's going to win. You know, you can have a horse that comes in like Bob Baffert's horse, and he ends up running, you know, sixth. And you just never know what's going to happen. And so that's why we're really getting excited about how they get there to see what all is coming up. And now we've got some coming up this week. On March the 9th, we go to London, England, to the Jockey Club at Kempton Park and have the a derby prep race there at Kempton Park. And it's just a phenomenal place there. Not many horses that come out of the, it's called the Road to the Kentucky Derby Condition Stakes at Kempton Park on March the 9th. Not many of those horses come out of here, come over to run, because it's a little different in Europe running, and the money's really good there week in and week out. And you know, it's a lot of expenses to come over here. And, you know, it's just a whole different ball game to go from one country to the next to race in the Kentucky Derby. It's very difficult to do. And that was the Kempton Park to be on on March 9th. And then here in the States, we have the Tampa Bay Derby coming up on March 12th. That's coming up. But the ones that we have coming up here this weekend, we're loaded with three good races this week. We're going to start with the Gotham Stakes in Aqueduct. It's race 10 on March 5th. It goes off at 5:27 p.m. Eastern time. It's a $300,000 race for three-year-olds going a mile. And again, you know, these races vary, mile and a 16th, mile and an eighth. They're all coming up. And this is a nice field. It's a 10-horse field. Very strong field. Very, very strong field. Mark Cassie has Glider in there. Nice horse. Todd Fletcher has Golden Cold in there. He's a real nice horse. He's got another, Todd's got another horse in there, Dean's List, which is a good solid horse. Loves to run in New York. They have a guy, Bob Claceres, has a horse called Life is Great. He's a Florida horse, and he's in New York in the wintertime running graded stake races, which is really good. The long shot that I look at in here is Bold Journey. He's a New York bred. He's trained by Billy Mott, and I think this horse is going to really show some talent there. I think him and Glider might be right there at the beginning at the wire together. And then Bob Baffert come all the way from out west with Rockefeller. Got Rockefeller. That's a good New York name. Bred in Kentucky, trained in California, running in New York. Rockefeller for Bob Baffert. He's carrying 123 pounds and should be the favorite in there. All the rest of the horses are carrying 118 pounds, with the exception of Steve Asmussen's horse that he has in there, which is Morello, and he carries 120 pounds. But Bob should be the favorite in that with his horse, Rockefeller. And that's post time is 5:27 p.m. Eastern time. And you can go to IENTV.org and you can catch them on America's Day races there. Or and we've got several different places you can go to watch them on Naira Bets, TwinsFires.com. We have links on there for all of them. Then again, out west, we have the San Felipe. It's a grade two race. It goes off at 2:30 Pacific time, which would be 5:30 our time here on the East Coast. It's a $400,000 purse. It's a grade two for three-year-olds. They're going a mile and a 16th. And let me tell you, we could have the Derby winner coming out of this race. We could very well have the Derby winner. I like the journey that they've taken to get to that they're taking on the Derby for all the horses in here. It's kind of interesting to see who's going to do what. Arbanac is Bob Baffert's horse in there with Johnny Velasquez up. Bob's got them all over the place. He's got another one in here called Doppelganger, which is a nice horse. He's a good, solid horse. He likes California. Hasn't been out of California, and neither has Bob's other horse been out of California. So he's a good horse in there. But, you know, this race here is going to, I think, send the possibly one of the longest shots for the Derby out. I think he might do it. And the horse I like in this race is Doug O'Neill's Happy Jack. I think Happy Jack is a nice horse. He's coming along good. He's showing, I would say, good stability. He trains good. He does everything right. I just think that this is maybe be Doug's year with Happy Jack. I like that horse. I don't know why, other than the fact that he's a good, solid, everyday workhorse, you know, for him out there. We'll see more after Saturday. Who knows, I might be cashing a big old bet on him and headed up for that Meadowlands Beer Festival and wine tasting that they have up there. But here close to home, and I'm so glad that every time I see this race every year, it lets me know that spring is on the way, the Derby's around, we're in full swing for the thoroughbred season, and it's time to get down to business. And this is the race that it's going to tell me a lot about the three-year-olds this year. This race is just, you know, phenomenal as far as the talent that's in here. You probably couldn't get 2 feet between each one of these horses at the finish line. Again, we go back to, like we were saying, the small fields that they came up with earlier in the season, the 7-8 field horses. There's a lot of them that, did good, and then they get into these bigger races with the bigger horses, and it's really, really tough on them. This is race 12. Which is a full day of big stake races at Gulfstream. And like I said before earlier in the show, every other race they'll have on television-wise and post-time-wise, it'll be, a race at Gulfstream, a race at Santa Anita, race at Gulfstream, race at Santa Anita, back and forth all day, loaded with stake races all day. Good day to go watch some good horse racing. But here in the Classic Tipton Fountain of Youth, it's a grade three. Post time is 5:42 p.m. Eastern time. We have a 13 horse field. And I'm telling you what, my friends, this is going to be a race of all races. We're looking at a lot of good trainers here. Kelly Breen's got a horse called In Due Time. I don't know if that's an indication that In Due Time means that not today, maybe down the road In Due Time. So that's a horse that I like. He's got Paco Lopez in the irons, and he is a fantastic race rider, and Kelly Breen's a great trainer with his horses. He knows how to get them there, that's for sure. Then we have Kenny McPeak has Rattle and Roll with Brian Hernandez. Rattle and Roll is a nice horse. I think he might be a good horse for the undercard at Churchill Derby Week. He's a good, solid horse, but I don't know if he's quite at that level yet. It's going to be interesting to see. AP Secret for Mr. Stephanie Jovis Jr. He's a good horse, but I think he's going to be better along in August when Saratoga and Mama Park come around. And then Todd Pletcher has Emmanuel with Luis Saez in the game. I think this is the winner right here, is Saez and Pletcher team up with Emmanuel. There, Billy Mott's got a nice horse. He's got High Oak. He's a good, strong horse. Billy always trains him. We know that he can get the distance and he can finish. We know that, that's for sure. And then we come down again with McDonagall. And he scratched out of this race. He was going to be the favorite for Todd. He came up with a little bit of a fever and got knocked out of training for a little bit. And so they got him back on, you know, back on the road again. He's doing good in the barn, and he's getting out. They got it all under control, and it was just something that, you know, a little temperature spiked on him, and Todd won't run a horse unless he knows he's got a shot. And if there's anything wrong with him, they're certainly going to stay in the barn and not go into the race. So that's where we're at on International Equine Network. We didn't get any callers this week. Kind of disappointed in that, but you know, I can do what I'm doing and still enjoy myself. And that's the thing, is making a difference and enjoying myself. And hopefully we'll get some people down the road to call in to us. But if we don't, it's not going to make or break us, my friends. We're going to be there 24/7 no matter what in the horse industry, because that's the way we live our life, 24/7 in the equine industry. So next week, look forward to talking with somebody, hopefully on the show next week at 1 o'clock at BBS Station 1. Until next week, stay on the journey and remember, make memories. Make memories. We'll talk to you next week on International Equine Report.